Hello?
I have a mouthful of meat.
So does your mom.
Except she gets paid for it.
I'll be ready to start in a minute. I'll just be eating during the early part of the show. Well, it's either that or make you guys wait another half an hour until I finish.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd appreciate that.
That's a good sacrifice.
You don't need to understand what I say. It's just like I'm Fort Max. I see Mickey is connected, but he's not saying anything. Unless he thinks he's saying something and we just don't hear him. But that seems to be more of Paladin's gimmick, right?
Maybe he's learning to communicate telepathically.
Maybe that's why I had an urge for a mouthful of meat tonight.
3, 2, 1. And now it's time for another superhero time. With your hosts, XV.
Nothing's worse than a stale douche.
Hey, Mickey.
She's f***ing a dog.
Paladin.
And with just a bit of leg hair.
Ken.
Yeah, actually, he gets beat off.
And Fort Max.
Myth confirmed.
Let me say this to start. You're listening to Superhero Time. I'm XV. And with our Super Climax cast, he's at an endless climax. It's Hey Mickey.
Yo.
He'll make you cry. Paladin.
Hello.
The answer isn't important because Fort Max isn't listening. See? And Ken is stringing you along because Sig's catchphrase is hard to work with.
Hi!
So apparently we have a lot of news stuff this week.
Well, sort of.
Well, as much news as we ever can really call news. So yeah, not much.
Now, more than we've had the last few times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Figure Arts is apparently getting a bit of a boost in U.S. distribution, with the Toys R Us website listing Shinken Red and Shinken Gold for $35 each. And allegedly, they're available in actual stores.
The key word there is allegedly.
That's why I put that in the copy.
That's another word for f***ing no, it's not.
It's a toy. Well, if it's a Toys R Us exclusive, it will probably be available for years for $35.
Or it won't be available at all.
Right. Well, you know, Toys R Us has that aisle of, like, really expensive specialty market toys that never sell, and these would fit right in there. The only thing that concerns me is that if they still have the original Japanese packaging, that's going to look really weird.
Yeah, just a bit.
And what really worries me is if they would put these with the Power Rangers Samurai toys, because while they would look a heck of a lot better than the actual Samurai toys, you know,
the Samurai toys look really bad.
Well,
the Samurai toys don't need help to look really bad.
No, but it'd just make it even worse.
Yeah, but, you know, there's also going to be some confusion because you've got the same things over here which have all different names of the Japanese packaging and are $36, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, having these in actual stores just seems like problems waiting to happen.
Like, more expensive than the Megazord.
But similarly to this, Amazon is currently directly selling Kabuto and Masked Rider Warrior Leader Figure Arts, and they have a pre-order for Figure Arts Vegeta.
Also coming. Godzilla.
Okay.
And Mecha Godzilla.
We found out, I think, at Toy Fair that Bluefin Tamashii was going to be handling the distribution for Figure Arts and, like, Robot Damashii stuff in the U.S. this year. And it looks like that's working out better than when they tried to do it with Diamond before.
Yeah.
Whether this will actually amount to anything, who knows?
It won't.
Well, on the bright side, at least they are trying to push for Monster Arts to be a simultaneous release worldwide.
That's good, I guess. Vegeta's really the important thing, though, since in Japan that's a Tamashii Web exclusive or something, right?
Again, I feel sorry for anybody who paid middleman fees before that came up.
That's true, and I would probably be ordering a Vegeta off of Amazon, except that I'd rather have regular Vegeta, not Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
Which they're not going to get.
Screw you.
I want Vegeta in street clothes.
Yeah.
Bad man shirt.
Pink shirt?
No, yep. GT Vegeta.
What, with the mustache and everything?
Yes, awesome midlife crisis Vegeta. Didn't he actually have a convertible in GT?
I think so. It's been a long time since I saw that, though.
Well, he has a lovely bunch of Dragon Balls.
Later, Dragon Ball is so awesome for so many wrong reasons.
None of the right ones.
Right. Okay, moving on to a sadder note, we found out last week that Gardner Baldwin, who played Carl Zichter in the voice of Grimlord in VR Troopers, died of a heart attack on September 7th.
Aww.
His obituary ran in the Martha's Vineyard Times and can be read online at the link that I will post in the show notes later.
I hate Martha's Vineyard.
It is kind of sad that the only thing that it mentions that he performed on was VR Troopers.
Well, that's his most prominent role.
Exactly.
That's my point.
I know.
Still better than Masked Rider.
Yeah, I wonder whatever happened to TJ Roberts. Speaking of which, I'm going to eat some of my Burger King. Somebody else talk about more news.
Well, speaking of Saban's Masked Rider, Saban
good segue.
Reacquired the rights to that series at the same time that they did Beetleborgs and VR Troopers. So, list A entry finally popped up on the U.S. copyright database.
Now, this is something I've been wondering about for a little while. Is VR Troopers and Beetleborgs available anywhere? Like the Power
They're
Rangers?
On Netflix.
Okay.
On Netflix.
Yeah. Those are all on Netflix. Saban's Masked Rider isn't.
It might be soon, though.
Yeah. Which maybe, is even more frightening.
Maybe the rights just took longer to get worked out.
No, it was done at exactly the same time. They're all part of the list. All three of those were on the part of the same document. So
okay,
they didn't want anyone to know they got the rights to them back. They were embarrassed.
And from Mar Vista's website, and now Mar Vista's the people in charge of international licensing for the series, has added a page for The Next Mutation, complete with the new Saban Brands logo. So Saban's apparently required that too.
Which seems really weird, because I thought Nickelodeon got all rights to all Ninja Turtles.
The stuff that Mirage had.
So did nobody have Next Mutation?
Actually, I can imagine nobody wanted it, but
Disney probably ended up with it in the Saban buyout,
right? Because it was Saban Production. Saban had the broadcasting rights and the rights to that show specifically. So
it makes me wonder if
when
Saban...
Nickelodeon bought the Ninja Turtles, that would include the stuff that would just include the stuff that they bought from
Mirage.
Well, no, not Mirage. Whatever that one guy was who owned the brand.
Lair? Nope. Eastman?
One of those two.
Yeah, one of them.
Yeah, the one who hadn't sold it to the other.
It makes me wonder, though, if Saban has just bought back all of the previous Saban productions that got sold with Power Rangers.
And if that's the case, where the f*** is Mystic Knights?
Right.
Well, it took a while for that one document to... Well, it took a while for the document that mentioned Masked Rider to actually show up anywhere, so...
I also wonder, though, if there's not more complicated issues with Mystic Knight, since all the actors were from Ireland, and the production crew and everything. I wonder if that's not...
It might be an issue with the co-production relation, but...
Because it wasn't just fully just Saban, right?
Well, considering I don't think Saban had, well,
no presence in Ireland,
I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There was some production company in Ireland they were working with or something.
The same way that Young Hercules got produced.
Right, right.
Can't they just trade the rights for some cheap whiskey then?
Excellent.
Their cheap whiskey's probably a lot better than our cheap whiskey.
Well, you can probably get a lot more drunk off of it.
Exactly.
Whether you can actually stand to drink it, that's another matter.
You won't care after a while.
And, Ellen, Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters has started airing on this.tv network.
Which, for anybody who doesn't understand what Fort Max just said, it's one of the piggyback digital channels on your local broadcast range.
With a piggyback ripoff Power Rangers show.
Right.
Makes and perfect sense.
And it's pretty much Deke trying to make their own show, except with the same budget they had for Cyber Squad, except without any footage to use from for the fights.
Yeah. It's pretty hilarious just to watch one episode, but that's about it.
I have not even watched one episode. The only thing I've seen of it is the TJ Omega TJ TV review of the first episode of it, which doesn't really motivate me to watch anything more.
Yeah, trust me, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's about all you need to see.
I think that gets the point across.
Oh, yes.
I will make you watch this. You made us watch Armored Heroes.
Now, look, if I had known to start with that Armored Heroes was so awful, I would never have scheduled it.
Yes, you would have.
Okay, maybe I would have, but...
But then you wouldn't have watched it.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have watched it, but two, you wouldn't have missed the chance to cause other people suffering. So.
On the other hand, I gave you Ryo Kendo 1 week, and that was pretty awesome.
Why haven't I watched any more Ryo Kendo?
I don't know. Oh, I know. It has the encoding problems.
Speaking of which, I finally cave in and put it in the PS3 media server.
Oh, how's that working for you?
Geki Ranger seems to play okay on it, so that's promising.
Yeah, the only problem with that is, at least with the hardware I have here, you can't, fast-forward through it or it screws it up.
But you can't resume where you left off, either.
That sucks.
No.
That kind of sucks.
I think I'll just stick the re-encoding.
Well, there is a chapters option in PS3 Media Server, so you can set whatever chapter increment you want, from 1 minute to, hours at a time. So it's not exactly like picking up right where you left off, but you can get close to it. PS3 Media Server is really good for this kind of stuff. If you want to watch stuff on your TV through a video game or something.
Which I do.
Yeah. Well, me too. Except I have proper hardware to do it. I'm not doing it through the Xbox.
If I do that, my laptop has a HDMI port on it, so.
That's cool.
I could do that too, I suppose. But,
and my TV also has a
monitor
VGA cable connection, yeah. So.
Oh, you got a nice TV, don't you?
It was a cheap 200. Well, probably the equivalent of it now is probably about $200, but it was
how many inches?
350, about
350 inches.
Oh, wow.
No, dollars.
Somebody got
a lot of nickels with that.
It's about 19. It's 19 inches.
Mine's
like a good intro quote.
All right. So back to news. Somebody.
Well, today we saw two new Kamen Riders that will appear in the next Movie Wars.
One for Oz and one for Forze.
Well, I bet they'll meet at some point, because
well, the one
why
for
not?
Oz also looks like it's fighting AG.
Actually, it's fighting both the births, it looks like.
Yay, double birth.
Well, he's also fighting someone wearing parachute pants.
Well,
that could
AG.
Be anybody.
Yeah.
They should give AG a third birth driver.
So they can be triplets?
Yeah.
Why not?
Fort Max, why don't you silence your phone before we start? Who needs him anyway?
Boost up the levels.
Zoom in and enhance.
But yes, one of the writers, actually a girl.
Kamen Rider Nadesco.
Nadesco, actually, I think.
Well,
Kamen Rider Eve.
Kamen Rider Nadesco would be pretty awesome.
Kamen Rider Nabisco sounds delicious.
Kamen Rider Salerno.
Kamen Rider Oreo.
Ooh. Kamen Rider with cream on the inside.
It's unique nowadays to see a Kamen Rider revealed that you can think, we'll probably never see a figure art of this.
Yeah, but we'll be getting all kinds of Poseidon, probably.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, they love the Oz figure arts.
Yeah. And that's actually kind of cool looking, too.
Yeah, I like the design for how the metal slot in.
Whereas Girl Forze looks like Girl Forze.
Pretty much.
Let's see. Poseidon is shark, whale, and jellyfish, so I guess this is O's version of Kamen Rider Abyss.
Works for me. They should make a new Ryuki something and use Abyss. Really?
Really.
So what else is going on?
Well, I got my Forze module change figure in finally.
How's that doing for you?
Not too bad. I mean, it's not a replacement for figure art, but it's definitely enough to hold me off until they come out.
Hmm.
Do the gimmicks work pretty well?
Actually, the modules slot in really tightly. I was pretty impressed. And it has enough articulation, you know, to strike most of his main poses and all that. So it works out pretty well.
Does sound like the extension of the combo change then.
Yeah, did the combo change have articulated hands?
Sort of. Semi-articulated hands, you know, like two fingers movable.
Yeah, same thing.
Which is the same thing the Final Form Ride figures in Decade had. Or at least the D-End I have is that way. The transforming ones may not have had that.
But at the very least, I mean, it's the same size effectively as a figure art, so you can still display them with all that. So yeah, it's just a continuation of the Combo Chain series. Just
perfect.
Done with birth stuff instead.
Yeah. there was a list of cameo actors for upcoming Gokaiger episodes.
Yes. We now know through episode 43.
Oh, wow.
Boy.
Damn, we're that far already.
Well, we did just have 31.
So
did your mother. Simultaneously.
Yes. Because she's large. Okay, so who's coming up in Gokaiger?
Let's see. Representatives from Go-Onger, Die-Ranger, Kaku-Ranger, Mega-Ranger, Five-Man, Bio-Man, Jack, Sun Vulcan, and finally, Battle Fever J.
So who's coming back for Go-Onger?
Sosuke.
Aw.
Well, with it being the final upgrade, I can see why they would pick a red.
I guess.
I would like to see more than one come back, though.
Yeah. I was hoping for Gunpei, just because of last week.
Although, I guess it makes more sense to have Sosuke considering the power-up they're getting.
Yeah, it's...
Red.
The final one. And I'm guessing, since they're going, like, really old school with those last few, that naturally the last one will be probably Aqua Rangers.
What?
I'm disappointed that Bioman isn't getting yellow to show up. The skeleton shows up. I was bio-yellow.
Well, they already had one dead character come back.
Well, Sun Vulcans is actually kind of interesting because it lists both of the Vault Eagles.
Well, that's going to be awkward.
A little bit.
How's that going to work?
I haven't seen Sun Vulcan, so... I don't know, does one of them die, or do they just switch out?
It's Showa era, so I'm guessing someone dies.
Dramatically.
Well, it's over halfway subbed, so...
Well, get on that, Ken.
Like, I don't have enough to finish watching.
Yeah, how are you doing on Go-Onger there?
I'm still need to finish Garo first.
Well, how far along in that are you?
About episode 10. But I haven't had a day... See, I haven't had a day off since the last time we recorded.
Well, that kind of blows.
Kind of does.
Still, you better hurry up with the Garo stuff so you're caught up for when we talk about that next month.
Oh, no, I'm doing that this week.
That's good. By the way, we're doing Garo next month.
Spoiler.
And don't worry, Paladin, I remembered you asked for a Kiva episode on Halloween.
Okay, that should go over well.
Yeah. Well, it's a funny episode, anyway.
We need to have Wingus on for that week.
Why?
Spider, wasn't it?
Yes.
There you go.
Does he have a thing with spiders?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
I forgot about that.
All right, then. I'm sold. I'm always up for a trauma. We should do an episode of Battle Fever then, too.
Or the first episode of Kamen Rider.
No. Do an episode of Battle Fever that focuses on Miss America. Because that creeps him out, too.
Oh, does it?
Mm-hmm. That's the reasoning behind my Allspark avatar right now.
Is that why you wanted that key so much?
No, it's because Miss America is hilarious and awful.
I still stand by my theory about Captain Marvelous and the Miss America key.
Which was that again?
I think if Captain Marvelous uses the Miss America key, it turns him into Captain America.
Sure, I'll buy that.
Sure. It'd be hilarious to see the Miss America costume redesigned for a male version of it.
Of course, if anyone actually did use it in Gokaidra, it would be Doc.
Yeah.
Really, the only difference would really be the hair, wouldn't it?
Well, it would probably have some pants.
No, probably not.
The Miss America costume didn't have a skirt.
Right.
So it will still, well, it will have the same bold, so.
So not much difference.
No, but the legs would probably be white or something instead of looking like leggings, stockings, whatever.
Yeah, I like it. Instead, less leotard.
Right.
Leotard on.
Thank you, Mickey.
Okay, so do we have any more news?
I think that's all the stuff that matters. Although I did get to pay for Figuarts Gokai Red this week.
Nice.
So did I.
I actually thought about trying for one of those, but when I realized it would be $65 shipped,
I got it for $46.
Yes, well, you had the opportunity to pre-order from AmiAmi.
Oh, no, I didn't. I had a friend help me.
How'd that work out?
Pretty good, actually.
I mean, where did it end up coming from?
Oh, it came from Japan. He was just able to change the address.
No, I mean, what store?
Oh, HLJ, I think.
Oh.
That's where I went.
Came from the manufacturer.
Came from China.
Yeah, they do use China, don't they?
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure it's mostly plastic.
Yeah.
It's made of chemicals.
And lovely lead.
Delicious lead.
That's probably a bad thing if I just stuck Forza in my mouth, right? Just kidding.
Did you pay him a nickel first?
Actually, wouldn't Forza have to pay Ken a nickel to have him stuck in his mouth?
I don't think so.
Okay. You have more experience in this area than I do,
they're just being friends.
Yes, he's befriending the hell out of you with benefits, Ken. And on that note, Mickey, make a show of it and tell us about Gokaiger.
Oh, let's do Forza first. I don't feel like getting into Gokaiger right now.
Well, fine then.
No, do Gokaiger.
Alright. I guess you want to have the dull spot in the middle of the show then, huh?
Sure.
Alright.
No point leading off on a high note.
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action!
I actually thought this was the best episode this week, but...
Well, your tastes are stupid. And you're stupid. And your
obviously,
face is
you
stupid.
Just tasted foes.
Alright, so this is the one with the pirates, right?
It usually is, yes.
Okay, that's right, yes.
Well, this is a thrilling summary.
This week's Gokaiger was homage to the boring Sentai series of O-Ranger.
And on the other hand, though, this was, like, totally awesome.
Yeah. It's because funny how they turned a series that I could not make it past to the first 15 minutes of. And a really great episode out of it.
Mm-hmm. Only Gokaiger has that effect.
Because it focuses more on something else and less on O-Ranger.
So, you know, maybe in the movie when the Ghost Agers show up, the Gokaigers, like, make that bearable, too.
Well, the Shinkangers halfway bearable.
No, the Shinkangers did not make them bearable.
Well, I wouldn't know. I was smart enough not to watch that shit.
Well, I was bored one day. Give me a break.
Well, mind you, I was watching it.
Did that fix your boredom?
Well, it was kind of entertaining as I pointed and laughed at all the Ghost Agers for their hilarious physical and societal shortcomings.
And the fact that the Shinkangers treated them as such.
Yeah, that was great.
Exactly.
But, you know, the Ghost Agers still blow.
Yes.
For nickels.
So.
No, they even managed to get that part wrong.
Yeah, they give you the
money
nickel.
For this?
All right, then, pirates. So opened up with Captain Sunglasses from O-Ranger talking to his head bitch, saying, "Yeah, we need to activate this plan now."
You know, I gotta say, head bitch aged really well.
Yeah.
Her eyes are a little baggy, but that's okay.
It's been I imagine some other things under the uniform are baggy, too, but, you know, that tends to happen.
Leave your mother out of this.
So that's the cold start. Then we get the intro. We cut straight to Navi yelling like a madman.
Wow!
Isn't Navi female?
Yes, but she was yelling like a madman.
Okay.
So, of course, they all determined the proper course of action is to go look at an amusement park.
Yes.
No, the true proper course of action when someone's screaming like a lunatic is to look at Guy.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing they do, actually.
Yeah, what did Joe say? Something funny, but I don't remember the exact words.
It was great. We all laughed, then moved on.
You had to be
you
there.
You should watch it.
So they decided to go to an amusement park to figure out what the hell Navi's talking about, and through a twist of logic that I don't quite understand, that's exactly where O-Pink went, to wait for them.
Yeah.
Does anyone understand that?
Well, they tend to kind of stumble upon these things pretty conveniently anyway, normally.
Yeah.
But she was there waiting for them specifically to come to an amusement park to find her.
Well, they are the government, so.
They know how the Go-Guiders always seem to stumble into exactly where they're needed. She was just taking advantage of that. Wherever she ended up going would be the exact place that they were looking.
You know, like how they conveniently landed outside Galred's hospital.
And how they just happened to run into other Joe last week. Chasing
so
after
it's Decade's fault?
No, other Joe. Not that Joe.
Well,
the beautiful Joe?
Shut up.
O-Pink says that she's going to give them the O-Ranger ultimate power if they do her a few favors.
Become her bitch.
And I love how it's Joe and Marvelous again, following her around shopping, giving the uninterested commentary.
For once, it's not Don.
Well, it's just like with Jellystone the other few weeks ago.
You know, yeah.
It's the same kind of situation for them. They don't want any part of this, but they don't really have a choice but to go along.
Well, it's maybe they'll get some curry out of it.
It's just fun for me that they're putting those two together for the complete disinterest thing. It's their special relationship.
Yeah,
so
special,
right. While she goes about abusing the team and totally not stalling for time at all, she's just checking her watch to see what time her show starts.
She doesn't want to miss her stories.
Right.
No, she's looking for Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters to start on TV again.
No one's looking for that.
No.
Well, I'm sure it's awesome and exotic if you're Japanese.
Just because something's a foreign language doesn't make it awesome and exotic.
Well, tell that to the anime fandom for the last 15 years.
Why only 15?
Number I pulled off the top of my head. Tell that to all the people who rave over K-On.
Ugh.
And Pretty Cure.
Hey!
And Gurren Lagann.
Hey!
And Bleach.
Bleach, man. I'll give you.
One Piece.
Yeah. And yeah.
I have no opinion on One Piece.
And other stuff, too, but going back to the subject at hand.
And whatever it is that you like, personally.
Yes.
Yes, always.
And the ponies.
Well, that's not exotic Japanese, you know. I guess what?
So we can rag on them all you want.
Yeah, screw the ponies.
Oh, I'm sure they wish they could.
Yeah. Well, if they could just find that guy from BotCon who is dressed as one.
Well, that's Adam.
Oh, God.
That's Adam. He's on the Elspark.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What the hell, dude? Not you, Adam. Okay, anyway.
Anyway. While she's stalling for time, I mean, not stalling for time, Captain Sunglasses hops in a Chevy, I'm sorry, UAOH transportation vehicle.
I like how they just they just slap the O-Ranger logo on the back of it.
Yeah, like just cover up the product placement symbol.
Even though it's on the front of it?
Yeah.
Nobody would ever notice that.
Well, kind of hard to put one of those symbols on the grill.
Whatever. They could make a big enough one.
Yeah.
I put my symbol mom's grill.
Yeah.
I filled your mom's grill up with stuff.
And smoked it.
No, she was smoking it.
It's a little of both.
Your mom's a little of both. By which I mean she's a hermaphrodite.
Wow.
By the way, I'm eating a Whopper.
California?
No. I actually looked up pictures of what an actual one looks like, and it's pretty gross looking.
I eat one because the guacamole burgers are good. However, that was terrible guacamole.
Well, I was just going to say, in the picture, the guacamole was all, like, brown and everything.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's not the color, but it just had no flavor to it. It was just basically just pureed avocado.
Which, I like avocado, just the flavor of straight avocado, but, you know.
But if you're spending guacamoles with some spice and flavor to it, it was not that. It was just avocado goo.
Yeah. Which, I don't want avocado goo. I want, you know, a slice of avocado if I'm not having guacamole. But, getting off the culinary tangent.
At least it's not the weather report.
That comes
or
later.
Or Kabuto. Alright then. Cap Sunglass is going to go trade the ultimate power to Bosco for exchange for the location of the gigant horse ship thing.
The Zangek fleet's flagship.
Yes.
But what would they even do with that information?
Well, they are still a military, so...
They got missiles.
Yeah, that'll work really well.
About as well as this transfer.
Yeah. Look at this Bosco. Of course he's trustworthy.
Sure.
You can tell that just from the boa.
And the monkey. Nobody with a monkey is non-trustworthy. Biggie?
No.
What?
No.
Well, come on.
Well, the guy I do look at, what's going on? They're being screened with. So they call O-Pink out on her shit. And she reveals her real plan is to trick Bosco. And if Bosco tries to take the power by stealing them, then she has to give the Go-Catchers the powers herself before he takes them.
Except they say no.
I do like this moment, though.
It's not the worst plan I've ever heard.
That's actually a fairly confident plan, especially if you've got something to go with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like Marvelous's response, though.
Why don't you share that with us?
We're pirates. We just take shit.
Basically.
And they don't take nobody's shit.
So I don't really particularly care for the way they handled that, exactly.
Well, and it kind of makes no sense relative to the later part of the episode, but I'll mention that then.
So what I don't like about it, though, is it makes it too obvious that Marvelous wants to go and help them. The Cap Sunglasses, whatever his name is.
Or he wants to go punch Bosco in the face.
Well, the ways they phrase it and set up the whole scene, it seemed more like he wanted to go help him out.
Well, he's
and
kind of
Marvelous shouldn't make it that obvious.
Well, he's running out of excuses.
Well, I mean, all he had to say is, like, I need to go kick Bosco's ass. Screw you. I'll pick up your shit later. You know, they could have made him sound more piratey.
But you're focusing on the wrong thing here. What you should be focusing on is Captain Sunglass's awesome plans and contingency plans.
Yes, plans upon plans.
All with a single remote.
Well, it had two buttons on it.
It had three buttons on it.
Oh, did it have three?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first explosion, the chains, and then the
big other explosion?
Yeah.
Apparently,
the one explosion that didn't work.
Awesome.
But no, I mean, I was really impressed with, him planning for Bosco to screw him over.
Apparently he knows a couple things about pirates.
Apparently.
Seems like. And I thought all he knew how to do was blow up robots.
Fat robots.
And bitch robots. So anyhow.
Bosco busts out all his ranger keys this time.
Which is the only reason Captain Sunglass's plan didn't work.
Yep. Bosco having an entire army at his beck and call kind of squishes that a bit.
So Do we know this is all of his keys, or just he whipped out more than usual?
Well, all the ones we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, this accounts for what we know he has, and probably the missing number of heroes from the 199, right?
Yeah, these are all the extra ones that are kind of come in as reinforcements in that movie.
Yeah, and also these are ones that we've seen him holding before anyway, so...
And think about it backwards. Who else wouldn't have a key by this point?
That's what I'm asking. Is there anyone who's been unaccounted for so far?
Ninja Man?
They're not counting him as,
He's Mecha.
Yeah.
You know, it's really too bad that, they counted Gun Majin as a Mecha. Since it would have been funny to have Guy turn into him in front of the, O-Rangers.
Well...
Actually, it'd be funny to have
Zubon
him turn into...
wasn't counted as a Mecha.
Which makes no sense.
It's really kind of odd.
I think they just picked one of them at random to throw in.
And really, Gosei Knight should have been counted as a mecha, too.
I guess they just needed to fill it out.
They didn't need to be concerned about making sense.
Of course not.
Yeah.
But really, the only other ranger key I could think of right now is the Phantom Ranger.
And he was barely in Car Ranger, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was not nearly as important as he was in Turbo.
And was it the Mask guy?
Phantom Ranger. VRP.
No.
What?
The X-1 Mask?
Yeah, oh. X-1 Mask.
Yeah, he was only in one episode of Mask Man, I think.
I mean, just like Gosei Green, apparently he doesn't count.
Orange Ranger. If Pink Ranger gets a key, Robo Ranger.
Well, then shouldn't there be a Shinken Brown key, too?
And actually, yes. For that matter, I think we're missing a couple of Deca Ranger keys also, aren't we? Deca Gold, Deca Bright...
There wasn't an A Squad, B Squad thing in Deca Ranger, was there?
No, the A Squad is only in SPD.
Okay.
That's why they used, BMX gear and Power Rangers and space helmets.
And Deca Gold appeared for about 12 seconds, so that's not too much of a surprise.
I think Deca Bright was another one. Well, of course, then again, Deca Swan only appeared in an episode, too.
All right, so let's wrap up Gokaiger.
All right, Gokaiger show up in Big Battle Royale. Blah, blah, blah. Fight. It's entertaining.
Very entertaining. And
Guy, of course, separates himself from the group by taking on the two people that manage to grow giant size when they're defeated.
Which was actually pretty decent use of their characteristics.
It was. And this is probably the best mecha fight in a while.
Well, it's the first mecha fight Guy's been involved in where he actually wins without kill stealing.
Oh, I liked how when he was transforming into Goju Rex that he kicked them away in mid-transformation.
Yeah. It's one of the few creative mecha fights we've had in the series.
And
yeah.
It blends from switches back between forth them pretty entertainingly.
Yeah, like when he crashes through the building and they're like, and Lucas telling him to watch what the heck he's doing.
Yeah. Like it's all his fault.
Of course. And Guy sounds so defeated through this entire battle. He's like, yeah, yeah.
He's learning his lot in life.
It's not a lot.
And then, of course, after the Gokaigers beat all of Bosco's Ranger Key images. And
with
Guy,
the Yo-Ray Bazooka.
Yeah.
Using, like, three different finishing attacks all stacked on top of each other.
Which is the real reason they couldn't have Guy there.
Well, Guy actually ended up using a neat variation of his finisher on Wolzard and Zubon.
Yeah, I like that a lot better than his real final wave.
Yeah, the non-stock footage stuff they do is a lot more enjoyable most of the time.
Definitely. But they did a good job of making the Ole Bazooka look like stock footage.
Yeah, they duplicated the style really well.
Shot for shot, even.
Up until the point where they went back to the Gokaiger Starfield background.
Yep.
But Guy got his really awesome moment after the fight was over.
Yes. He out-sallied Sally.
Yeah, because they realized that she does that every single time.
Well, or Guy realized anyway.
Yeah.
He was waiting for her to try to do that. And then he shot her in the face. That was fantastic.
Yeah. And then he's like, and then it's like the boss goes like, what you gonna do now, bitch?
And of course, Bosco still doesn't give a f***.
Well, no, he's Bosco.
So.
And while it was Guy had his cool moment, I still laughed when Bosco called him obnoxious.
Of course.
And then broke his arm.
Yes.
Because apparently Bosco is not what he seems.
What a twist.
Bosco has a rubber suit. And honestly, he's scarier without it.
Uh-huh. I don't know. It's a pretty, for, you know, a rubber suit monster, it's a pretty cool design, I think.
It's a cool design, but
it's okay, but the actor is so creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just he's a really good Japanese Johnny Depp.
Yeah. The suit actor does a good job of, I think, kind of mimicking Bosco's mannerisms.
But without Louis having, but without facial expressions.
Well, yeah, it's completely lost.
Yeah. What I like about
Ken?
Yeah. What I like about the design is, like, it looks like an, like, evil, monstrous Gokai Red, almost.
I can kind of see that.
And it still has the boa.
Yes, exactly.
But the difference between the human Bosco and the monster Bosco is like the difference between Maki and the dinosaur Greed. No, one of them's creepy, and one of them's just kind of a suit.
Uh-huh.
I'd say even this one seems like it has just a little bit more style than Maki. As a Greed, I mean.
Okay, well, maybe more like Yusaka and Weather then.
Yeah, a bit more there,
because Weather still had, you know, a certain style about him.
Yeah, the rubber suit here for Bosco isn't a bad suit. It's a good design. It's just that Bosco
is more intimidating without it.
Yeah.
Bosco, well, obviously they were going to make Bosco a big villain here, so yeah. He needed some way to fight.
The problem is rubber suits don't smirk well.
Right, Bosco needs his facial expressions to be Bosco.
Yeah, but he still needs some way to fight, though, so...
Yeah.
He's done pretty well without the suit.
Yeah, but he had a bunch of ranger keys.
He hasn't fought them head-on, ever, before.
The keys did the fighting for him.
He's dodged attacks, but that's it. Or gotten Sally to block attacks for him.
And I do like how freaked out Sally was.
Yeah! And Domerus, you know, sensed it all the way up in orbit, too. Which, that's probably not a good sign.
He must be over 9,000.
I was just going to say something like that.
Well, Domerus clearly knows what was going on the entire time.
Which is why he contracted Bosco in the first place.
Yeah.
Yep.
He knew what Bosco was capable of. That's why he's on the payroll.
It's like Bosco said, Marvelous couldn't have thought he got that bounty just for, you know, being the Galleon's cook.
I wonder if his cooking was better than Doc's.
I was wondering that, actually.
So yes, the shit has hit the fan, even though the Gokaijers are up all the ranger keys now.
And it ends with Bosco showing Marvelous his glowing balls.
Yes, because he has three of the Dragon Balls.
Right. Which Sentai's Dragon Balls were those?
Mask Man.
Live Man and Change Man, I think.
They have Live Man. It was Mask Man, Bioman, and Change Man, I think.
That wasn't Bioman.
Wasn't Bioman. Flash Man.
Change Man, no. Flash Man, Mask Man.
There we go.
Okay.
I have a chart.
He doesn't finish them off.
I'm sure you do.
He doesn't finish them off because he wants Marvelous to just keep doing what he's doing because it'll make his job.
And plus, he can't get something for nothing.
Well, yes.
Well, that and, you know, he can't, like, gloat over Marvelous if he kills Marvelous.
Of course.
That's an important factor here, too. So, next week we get a new toy.
Yay!
Made by Doc, of all people.
I'm actually glad he's finally living up to the name of Doc.
Well, you know, he's been the ship's mechanic the whole time.
This is true, but it just doesn't come up that often.
I guess.
Oh, is he supposed to be, like, an inventor Doc? Because I always assumed he was, like, a medical Doc.
No, Hakase is, like, professor.
Yeah, a doctor, a medical doctor is usually just sensei.
Yeah.
It's like Isaka was referred to as Isaka sensei.
Ah.
I think they call authors sensei, too.
Yeah. Sensei is used a lot in various things.
So is your mom.
Ah, thank you.
Now that's various things in her.
Well, not if it's the hermaphrodite version we talked about before.
Oh, God.
And anyway, now that Bosco has...
Show gives me so many nightmares when I go to sleep afterwards.
So now that Bosco is a monster form, does that mean we'll be seeing a Bosco figure art at some point?
Nah.
Hey, they're making a Juzo. If they're making a Juzo, I mean...
Well, I mean, they made a Juzo for the Samurai line. That doesn't prove anything.
Yeah, but Gokaiger sells like hotcakes, though, also.
And not undeservedly.
Well, it's not like you'd be able to get it.
Well, not unless Amazon carries it.
Oh, no.
Okay, so that was Gokaiger for this week. Pretty good episode.
It was a good episode.
And I guess next week we get a break from...
good episodes.
I was going to say the previous Sentai showing up.
Next Though week. I do like how in the preview, Guy's arm is in a sling.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if he's going to be out of... Because, oh, actually, does the...
No, the sling will be off and his arm will be fine by the end of the episode for him to transform.
I do wonder, does the Galleon Buster include the silver key?
It doesn't look like it, no.
So I thought it had an extra key slot.
So it's possible they could leave him out of commission for an episode.
Maybe.
Or have him morph, but with his arm still in a sling.
That would be great.
I kind of hope the Galleon Buster works like the Super Highway Buster.
Where it shoots somebody's face out of it?
Yeah.
Whose face? Like,
it shoots all five of their faces at it.
Well, you know, if it was Guy's weapon, it would shoot all of the previous extra Rangers out of it. You know, it would be the projectile form of his final wave. But no. Okay, so now it's time for Ken to talk about Forze, and I'm going to go and take a break for the next 45 minutes.
Oh, gee, thank you. Okay, so...
Space time!
Yes, space time. Okay, so, picking up where we last week left off, Forze sees Miyu getting jeered by the crowds of her former friends, and the chameleon Zodiac pops up behind him to troll him a bit. He gives chase, but it quickly gets away. Running back, Gintara tries to ask the distraught Miyu if she's okay. She just bitches him out, while her sidekick, Tamai, looks on a bit suspiciously. And
gee, I wonder why.
Clutching the Zodiac switch behind her back, which, you know, everybody guessed last week when she was the first one to run off. And the only one not there when the Zodiac showed up. So, yeah.
I guess they weren't really spoiling any foreshadowing there.
Not really. I only just now noticed that every time they cut to the intro, it cuts from a switch.
Huh. Okay.
But anyway, next day or so, presumably.
Well, you know, the name of the theme song is Switch On.
Switch On, so, yeah. Look forward to that for the next 45 episodes. Anyway, Gintaro is a bit agitated the next day or so. Well, Yuki's trying to figure out who besides Kengo and Gintaro would have voted for in the competition.
Yeah, she got a whole 4 points.
Yeah, and there is the creepy stalking Tomoko staring at them from down below in the schoolyard.
Well, and it's more than that, though. Yuki felt it.
Yeah, she gets this disturbing chill up her spine.
Her creeper sense is tingling.
And meanwhile, on the girls'
That
locker
was really room, creepy, though.
In the girls'
Speaking of creepy scenes.
Yes. Tamai tries to get Miyu to just quit. Well, Miyu continues her theme this episode of bitching people out by bitching her out.
This episode? Don't you mean the entire series, probably?
Yeah, probably.
She is queen all. Bitch.
Yeah. Miyu tells her to screw off and storms out. June says this is bad, the other sidekick. While Tamai,
drapes herself.
Pins her against the locker and invades her personal space quite terribly.
Are you sure this is still Foes and I didn't load something else by accident?
I was wondering that last week when we got to the pool, so. And that's only the first of those scenes in this episode, too.
You people have an encyclopedic knowledge of Japanese porn.
Speaking of having nightmares after the show.
Yeah.
It's not the Japanese porn that bothers me, it's just knowing your experience with it.
No, it's not. It's not experience, it's just a matter of...
Well, as familiar as you seem with it, I'm kind of questioning that.
Oh, I didn't know about the pool until I read 4chan last week.
Speaking of Japanese porn.
Yeah. Anyhow. Back at the rabbit hutch, Kengo sees Forze outside on the moon, practicing with the hopping switch, which shows exactly why Gintaro is actually able to use the thing after failing multiple times. Because he's actually a fan of due diligence and practicing, which Kengo gives him a backhanded compliment of. He didn't expect him to actually be a hard worker.
Well, he didn't really expect anything from
him. Well, how else is he supposed to make it look easy?
Yeah, that's why how easy he makes it look. But this does remind Gintaro of seeing Miyu and doing her own training for the competition, and realizes something about her, which causes him to track him down after he accosts Jake again. And Jake wants nothing to do with him, apparently.
Well, can you blame him for that?
Yeah, that's a running theme so far.
Yeah. Gintaro just chases everybody down because nobody wants anything to do with him.
And he will befriend them with his fists.
But apparently Miyu has rented out an entire bowling alley just to sulk while she bowls.
Wish I had that kind of money.
Sorry. Yeah.
I like bowling.
I don't like people, though, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, she gets surprised and nearly busts his leg. Actually, well, does bust his leg with the bowling ball and then nearly ruins the ability to ever have children.
Not like
Which I think would
it.
Be for the best for the rest of the world.
It's not like he's ever going to need that ability anyway. Besides, you know,
a switch that does the same
thing.
I
was just going to say, Kengo can probably make him a switch to fix it.
There probably is. Hearing that
cocked punch.
Hearing that she's just quitting, Gintaro chews her out. This obviously isn't how Gintaro wants to win. Regardless of what he has on the line, she should try her hardest. They're suddenly attacked by the Chameleon Zodiar, only for Burger Meal to suddenly fly in and block its attacks, showing it is apparently built from the same stuff as the Fang Memory, the Extreme Memory, and the Revelgary.
And Boss's hat.
Yeah, because it's invincible.
We need more of Narumi's hat.
Yes, we do. Kengo reveals it was that they've been investigating who the Chameleon Zodiar could be, and it is none other than Tamai, which is no surprise to anybody because they said it at the beginning of the episode.
Right.
Tamai tries to put on some sob story about being jealous of Miyu and starts looking like she's going to apologize before transforming again and lashing her.
Yeah, she pulled it off just long enough for Kengo and Gintaro to give them their privacy.
Yeah, Gintaro's so like, come on, man, let's just get in time.
Probably so Tamai could invade Miyu's personal space.
Yeah. Now I'm just thinking of the fact. Okay, I don't want to think about what her attack does for now.
Ha ha!
Too late.
Yeah. Anyway.
Stop thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to move on. Forze chase off after the Chameleon Zodiar on his bike, only to get interrupted by this Scorpio Zodiar. And then they just vanish. Miyu is in the hospital, but Gintaro says they shouldn't actually reveal to everyone who the Zodiar is.
Why?
Well,
because he's Gintaro.
Because he's Gintaro, and I guess he wants to give Miyu a chance to prove herself. And so back to the Queen Festival, which is resumed. And the dressing room where Shun shows he's a bigger dick than I even thought before.
Go Captain Football.
As if beating the shit out of Gintaro and then running off when his butt monkey turns into a Zodiar wasn't enough. But that's okay. That doesn't really matter because Tamai ends up invading June's personal space yet again.
Yeah, I don't think she's interested in Captain Football either way.
Yeah, but that's more like a very...
Yeah, more like she's interested in nom-noms.
Yeah, but that does seem like a very thinly veiled threat as well. And the music they play when she does that is very creepy, too, on top of everything else.
It's extremely creepy.
Well, so just, is the whole situation.
Just like that. They have this, like, axe murderer theme music in the background.
Seems about right.
Yeah. On stage, Tamai gives a speech trashing Miyu, only to be interrupted by Miyu, dressed up but in bandages and with a crutch. She gives her own speech, which is, well, it isn't exactly apologizing for how she was. Instead,
because, of course, she couldn't do that because she's a cheerleader.
I think it's the opposite of apologizing for how she acts.
She states that people who look to her for acknowledgement and to feel better about themselves are folks who she was are the folks she was making fun of because she thinks it's sad. That those people should work for themselves and try to, you know, better themselves. Which actually is something I can't entirely argue with, unfortunately.
It doesn't really work in the situation, though.
Not entirely.
Kind of like Foes.
It does not make her come across as sympathetic like they kind of wanted to do.
Not sure if it's necessarily sympathetic so much as
Plus, also, is that actually what they were wanting to do?
I'm not sure that's what they were wanting to do necessarily. It's just that she kind of has a bit of a point. People just, you know, kind of want
she to does, and she's coming across as a bitch about it. Which,
it's,
come it, on, that's what she does.
Yeah, it actually works a lot more than I would think it would. But then she also gives Gintaro the handshake in slow motion.
Of course,
of course.
I get the feeling we're going to be seeing that a lot in the next few episodes.
Yeah, probably.
But she wants to win fair and square, which is more than can be said for Tamai, who runs off before Kinko tries to stop her, saying that she might not turn back if she does this.
Because it's on last one, whatever that means.
Yeah, it transforms into the last one, which when she transforms, ejects her body just like with the Orion last time.
But before that, she was actually transforming directly into Chameleon.
Yeah, so it's...
My take on this is that the last one state is preparing to permanently transform the person into the Zodiart, and that's why the body gets ejected.
Only by Forze destroying them can they actually free them from it.
Yeah, it may not be irreversible.
Very arbitrary.
It may not be irreversible, but they probably can't untransform themselves at that point.
Setting up something like that, it makes me think that there is going to be something done with that eventually.
No, I doubt it.
I don't know. It's
possible. I think the whole reason for it is so Forza can go out and kill the monster and not kill the human being.
Well that's
Double
not,
never
that's
had
the only reason for it.
Double never had that problem.
Yeah, Double never had that problem. So I'm not sure that's entire case. I want to think that
although it might... for instances where they have to shoot the monster up into space to defeat it, it would be kind of inconvenient if it turned back into a person.
It would.
Just saying.
Yeah. Regardless, the Chameleon Zodiart takes off with Miyu, and Gintaro gives chase, and bumps his head when he tries to do his catchphrase.
Nice.
Then he does the unfortunate thing of trusting what Tamai says just because she's a girl, and gets shot for it.
Well, it's not like we've ever pretended that Gintaro was intelligent.
Well, not... Yeah, Gintaro's not intelligent. He's especially not intelligent with when it comes to women.
I thought you were just going to say he's special...
Well, he's that too.
Well, he's both, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he tries fighting the Chameleon Zodiar outside, but she keeps using Miyu as a human shield, and then threatens to drop her off over a bridge onto a road.
Over a bridge onto the stadium entrance.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Stadium, I'm not entirely certain, but Forze's school is close to every shooting location possible.
Well, for the school, the campus is every shooting location available.
Yeah.
It's just in this case, they're all in one place.
Sure, they have abandoned
the
warehouses,
don't
too.
Have
and a rock quarry.
Bridge.
I'm waiting to see the rock quarry and the abandoned warehouses.
Yeah.
What about Miyu the bombed warehouse?
Yeah, Miyu actually ends up bitching out Tamai to get her to drop her over the ledge. And Forze then uses the magic hand to grab her.
Insert music here.
Yeah. Then he proceeds to tear the shit out of the Chameleon Zodiart.
No. First, before that, we get some more invasion of personal space.
More invasion of personal space.
What? Well, clearly the answer is unimportant because Fort Max isn't listening.
No, right when he grabs her using magic hand, there is that awkward moment.
Oh, yes, I guess so. I wasn't even thinking about that.
That seems kind of sedate compared to the...
To my...
the dressing
pinning,
room and the locker
June
room.
Pinning June up against the locker.
Yeah. And you know, stalker girl in the first couple minutes. It's been some kind of episode.
Yeah, anyway, Gintaro finishes her off with another rider kick, which I kind of actually like that he keeps using the rider kick.
Well, I don't think he knows how to do anything else yet.
No, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Yeah.
But he's already used his rider kick more times than Double used Joker Extreme.
And more times than AG used...
Well, AG's never worked.
Yeah, AG used Tatama's rider kick 2 times and both times it failed.
3 times, 2 times it failed, 1 time he had to use it with Birth.
Well, anyway.
I noticed this week that he didn't also need the radar to use the rocket launchers.
Yeah, I think that's
practicing.
Just kind of...
I think that would just kind of
oversight,
slow down the fight anyway. Or it could be where he's where he has shown he has been actually training with the switches. So.
Yeah, except that what Kengo said in the first episode was that the radar is needed to aim the missiles. It's not, you know, a training
course,
thing. It's just
Kengo said hopping was completely useless.
He think hopping wouldn't work, and well...
Well, it's dumb, even if it isn't useless.
Regardless. That wasn't the argument.
Right.
I'm kind of... Now, here's my only problem with the episode. Tamai seems like she's more or less back to normal. Are we supposed to assume that the Zodiarts have some kind of effect of poisoning the people like the Gaia memories did? Or are they just really, really forgiving?
It's just high school.
I guess if this is the Kamen Rider universe and there have been 40 years worth of Kamen Riders in this universe, maybe people turning into monsters is just not that unusual a thing.
It's like when you have a evil, like when you have some alien possess you in Star Trek.
Or just blame it on the drugs.
Yeah. I'm down with that.
But anyway, Gintaro manages to not have to expel himself from school or transfer out because he's let Miyu know everything about the Rider Club and the Rabbit Hutch and let her in, whereupon she declares herself president.
This cannot end well.
No, and Kengo really realizes this because he just pats Gintaro on the shoulder and says, you know, you can deal with this.
Well, I think he's talking more about the rivalry developing between Yuki and Miyu.
Exactly.
Which, if this was anime, there'd be the red lightning bolts going between their faces.
I almost expected that.
Mm.
They had the sound effects.
Yeah. It just needed some Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 2010 reversioning in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just that, like, one moment, I'm liking Kengo more and more every episode. He's just like, yeah, you're an idiot, and you brought this on yourself. You can deal with it. Bye.
Yeah.
Something else we'll probably be seeing a lot of.
Oh, yes.
For a while, like, anyway.
Much like Miyu and Yuki fighting, which they looks like they literally are fighting next episode. Which seems to focus a bit on Jake.
Well, you know,
because everybody wants that.
He's the next one in line.
Yeah, then it'll be Shun.
Okay,
but,
so
overall,
I guess that was...
I'm still entertained by Forze.
I am just... There is one thing in this episode that disappointed me. He didn't beat up all that group of guys at the back of the school again.
No, that's just going to be like every two episodes. Every arc.
Yeah. Yeah, it would get silly if he did it every single week.
And they couldn't possibly do something like that.
No, of course not.
No.
Okay.
No, I do hope it returns next week because it's the best running gag.
It is a really amusing running gag, but, you know, he needs somebody to play off it with, like he did with Jake last time.
Yeah.
It doesn't it just need to be him beating up those guys for the sake of beating up those guys.
This
you know,
is true.
It needs to be worked into the story.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm sure they can find a way to do that.
Yeah, I won't say that I don't like Forze. I'm not, like, looking forward to it heavily every week. But it's not offensive to me so
right,
far.
It is fun to watch.
I'm more into it at the beginning than I was with O's, but then again, I don't know if that'll stick because I don't know if it'll keep that up.
It was kind of hard to get into O's at the beginning, though, because it wasn't clear what was going on.
And also, exactly. It's clear that they're letting Takagiya, or however the suit actor's name is pronounced.
Kawa?
What?
Taikawa.
Taikawa, yeah. They're obviously letting Taikawa have a little more, well... Apparently, they're letting him ad-lib a bit more.
Yeah, like when he jumps over at the bowling alley where he jumps over and just trips. I kind of wonder if that was just an outtake and he just decided to run with it.
You didn't get to see much of that in O's. Really, the one moment that you actually got to see that was sitting on the ride vendor in vending machine form.
Well, watch more Denno. If you want to see what he can do.
Well, yes, but I was talking about how it's nice that they're letting him ad-lib more.
It just has to go with the
Denno,
flow.
He's playing, you know, multiple characters, just like him.
And Denno has a lighter tone to it, which, you know, they can have him do whatever. It just has to fit the theme of the series.
Yeah. Well, one thing in O's himself... Like, the way he acted never felt really distinct because he acted differently depending on what metals he was using. And it wasn't like in Dino where it was an entirely different character.
Yeah.
As opposed to, say, Double, where that was definitely Shotaro he was acting as.
Right. That's, I mean, that suit actor is really impressive, since he's been, except for in Kuga, I believe, Kuga and Hibiki, he's been the main writer suit actor for every series.
And there have only been only a few instances where he hasn't been the guy in the suit.
Team-ups.
Right.
Where he had usually to be the other guy in the suit.
Right. Right. I mean, it's usually because he's in a different suit at the time, and they're having their usual second writer in the first writer suit for like a shot or something.
I think the usual secondary writer is like Ekito or something.
Yeah. Though I like how he made the two bursts really distinct.
He did.
Okay, so anyway, let's take a break and we'll come back and actually talk about some Dino.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, y'all, the Street Fighter 3.
It's time for Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Superhero Time's Power Playback every Friday afternoon on Twitter at TF Radio.
So, Power Playback is Kamen Rider Dino because we haven't done that yet.
And Dino is awesome.
And unending.
Well, which means we can keep doing it.
All right.
Shouldn't we have started this segment with an Ore Sanju?
I think
you can dub that in.
Yeah, I have an Ore Sanju I can use.
Ore Sanju!
But no, we won't.
Orange Sanjuice.
Orange juice gives me heartburn.
From start to finish, you'll love every drop.
That's going to be an intro quote. Anyway, so this week it's episodes 23 and 24 of Deneb introducing a new form.
No, Deno.
Did you say Deneb?
Oh, how I wish it was Kamen Rider Deneb. But yes, Deno, Deneb, whatever. It's only one syllable off.
And it does kind of start with Deneb.
Yes, because the recap shows the Zero Liner transforming to a combat helicopter. Because why the hell not? And cutting down a giant Imogen run amok.
And, man, TV Nihon really messed up with the encoding on this.
The aspect ratio on this encode is messed up.
Did you watch the streaming one, didn't you?
No. I have all of Dino sitting on my computer, so I just loaded it up.
But you got the SD version, don't you?
Yeah, I haven't upgraded to the HD version yet.
That one's fixed. Fine.
Okay. Well, luckily, my Media Player Classic can, you know, just resize it. But that threw me off at first because I was like, what the freaking hell is going on here?
Yeah. Everybody's really skinny this week.
It was fat. Everyone was really fat.
Oh, was it stretched out wider?
It was stretched out to, like...
It's like pancaked.
Oh.
It was, like, stretched out to movie ratio.
So everybody was really short this week.
Yeah.
Though it's still not quite as bad as when they completely messed up on Gokaiger Blu-ray for episode 4, was it? Or
The Deka episode when they had the earthquake stuff.
First they did it with the
audio for the entire disc on there, and because they have it limited, they have it set to encode to a certain file size with the audio included with that.
Crapped out the video quality.
Yeah. And then they did it again But then they had to redo it again because they didn't add in the audio delay.
Aren't there like 5 versions of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know who got it right on the first try? Overtime.
My mother.
And Overtime. So, okay, after the recap with the helicopter train and everything, on Denliner, owner mentioned some passengers have complained of hearing animal noises and missing food.
I don't like owner.
I like owner because he's f***ing creepy.
He really is.
Yes, he upsets me.
What are the passengers?
Owner is amazing just for that reason.
They show other passengers in the first few episodes, but then they kind of forget.
Yeah. They mentioned them, they just never showed them.
Well, you know, there's...
What the hell these other passengers are doing with tickets to this train? Where are they going? When are they going?
How off they the get... rails on the crazy train, probably.
You get these tickets at the station, or...
Yeah, you pick up the tickets at the Kingliner terminal. How you get there, I have no idea, but... So, Kentaros is blamed at first due to his loud snoring, but he denies that accusation and mentions having an odd sensation and finds that a puppy has just peed on his foot.
Yeah, starting things off on a classy note.
Yes.
That's dinner for you.
As they chase the puppy into the next car, they...
Benny Hill music.
They find that it's been converted into a kennel, basically, full of cats and dogs, and a swan imagine with a baby. Because, okay. Just then, Ryutaros enters while possessing Ryutaro and carrying another animal he picked up off the street.
And that's almost kind of confusing.
No, it's
Ryutaro's,
fine.
Ryutaro's possessing Ryutaro.
I'm sure if you are Japanese, they sound completely different.
Probably.
You're not. Therefore, they sound pretty much the same name.
Yeah.
But anyway, the new Imogen calls himself Zeke and names the baby as his brother due to some sort of mix-up when he tried to form a contract with the baby's mother and ended up possessing the then-unborn child instead. With me so far? What?
Why was they named Zeke Taros?
Because he named himself. Nobody else named him.
Oh.
All the other ones were named by Ryotaro or one of the others.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, but yeah.
Besides, Sieg Taro sounds stupid.
You're right, Sieg is much better.
Yeah. he explains that at some point after his brother was born, Sieg was able to take on physical form, but couldn't remember what the contract had been based around. Oops! Sieg then relates that Ryutaros found him and his brother in the back of a box truck somewhere and brought them home to Denliner. Sieg then possesses Ryutaro, and none of the regular Imogen are able to drive him out.
You know, when you go into this episode not really knowing what happens, that he came out of a baby in the back of a dirty truck is really just kind of... It creates unsettling odds. Like, that don't seem like they have a place in Ditto.
Not as unsettling as Fours.
No, it's pretty unsettling, actually.
It's one of those things where there's no context to help you out. At least with Forza, you have some context for Tamai being creepy.
Yeah, because she's a cheerleader.
So, taking a very regal attitude with Hana and the Imagine, he orders them to go search for his mother. And as Momotaros and the others balk at the demands, Sieg uses a strange power to reduce them to the size of action figures.
And apparently, Sieg buys his clothes at the same place as Bosco and Kogami.
Because boas are awesome.
Yes, of course.
And he leaves with Hana to search for the baby's mother. Meanwhile, the man who kidnapped the baby in the first place and left him in the back of the dirty truck is forming a contract with a scorpion Imagine to find the baby's mother. And for some reason, Denobin Yuto happened to catch on to all this. Because they have to be involved somehow in the episode. On Denliner, while eating a flan, owner speculates on why Sieg can do odd things like possess someone other than who he's contracted to, while Momotaros and the others begin to go back to regular size. Hana heads up to Irie's cafe to try to get more information about the vague clues Sieg recalls about where he came from, like something to do with feathers.
Yeah, that narrows it down.
Right. And she just happens
Did
to find...
give him this clue?
Well, birds, you know. Ozaki unknowingly gives her the answer while he tries to show off the tiny photo of himself that was printed in the paper that day.
I don't really get that whole subplot of the coffee shop.
Well, that's Ryotaro's sister.
Well, I know who it is, and those are his friends, but I don't really get its place in the show.
Well, no,
it always feels out of place.
They're not really his friends, they're her suitors. Although she's not aware of that.
Sucks for them, they're not going to actually succeed anyway.
Right.
And plus, it's Kamen Rider, so of course there has to be something that happens in a coffee shop.
That makes no sense.
See, also the Denliner.
Yeah. Yes, they're in the coffee shop car on the Denliner. Usually.
Well, but that all makes sense, though, because who wouldn't want to be around coffee all the time?
I think you're on your own for that one.
Me, here. So.
This is why you all aren't real people yet.
Well, I think there's other reasons that Fort Max isn't a real person.
I still say he's a chatbot.
He'd be more entertaining if he really was Trip.
Okay. Time Force?
What?
Trip
no.
From Time Force?
No. Although that might be more entertaining, I don't know. Anyway, Sig is also remembered on his own. While he was left to wait for Hana to get information from the coffee shop, and has run off with the baby without Hana, who has no idea where he's going.
Like she ever does.
Well, yeah, I guess. She's slightly more capable now than she is after the movie, but that's a matter for a different day.
Now, I haven't gotten past the movie yet in Dino, so is that where they de-age her?
A little bit after.
But spoilers!
Sorry.
See, that's why I didn't mention that.
Sorry.
Denob and Yuto are observing the scorpion imagine from a distance, while he's watching the mother's house for a chance to grab her. But just then, Sig arrives with the baby, and the police around the property think he may be the kidnapper. Sig, having no skill at talking to regular people at all, does nothing to help the situation. And Sig decides the whole thing is beneath him and leaves Ryotaro to deal with it instead.
And that seems like, yeah, that seems like a good idea.
No. And at the same time, the scorpion imagine is also taking the chance to go and try to take the baby's mother. Yuto and Denob use the distraction to give Ryotaro some cover to get away. And Yuto and Ryotaro find Hana nearby, and Ryotaro hands the baby off to her so he can go rescue the mother from the scorpion. They get into a little fight under the bridge, and the Imagine tries to clasp part of it on the unconscious woman, forcing Denob to use his own body as a shield while the scorpion escapes. But Kentaro switched in at the last second and was able to withstand the weight of the debris and cleared away from the baby's mother.
Perfect timing.
Yeah. He cancels the transformation as Hana arrives with the baby, but the police are close behind. Were you going to say something, Ken?
Well, the thing about that, and this is the first time I saw these particular episodes, because I was like right before it where I was watching through. And I kind of just saw that it was definitely going to be Kentaro's popping out of that rubble.
Yeah, I mean, it made sense.
Yeah.
You can start to predict things by this point in Dino.
Yeah.
Ryotaro takes the baby back and tells Hana to go hide, and lets the police arrest him and take custody of the baby. And that's the end of the first episode.
So far, so good.
It's okay. The second episode starts in the police station, while Ryotaro is being interrogated about kidnapping the baby.
And this is, like, leads into the best scene.
Yes, unable to really explain things properly himself, his Imagine try to help him.
Yeah, help. That's the right word.
Well, Momotaro's isn't much help.
No.
Because, as usual, he just wants to go straight through.
Yeah, this
and get things.
This reminds me that Ryotaro's actor is actually very, very good at just body
yes.
acting.
Well,
he certainly is.
And more than that, too, because if you remember in the first couple episodes, they didn't dub Momotaro's voice over him when he was possessed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's doing the full deal himself and is actually able to do it pretty well. But yeah, I think Takeru Sato is really underestimated in Dino.
Yeah, that's why the only reason why I'm kind of looking forward to the live-action Kenshin movie, just to see what they do with it.
Yeah. So Urataros possesses Ryotaro and spins such an elaborate series of lies that hundreds of pages have to be filled out by the poor stenographer, who is basically gone mad at the end of it.
I do like Arataris.
See, he's my least favorite one.
He definitely has the ugliest form.
Just for that scene alone.
I mean, seriously though, you can take Ryutaros more than Arataris.
Yeah, I can't really? Now. I didn't like Ryutaros as much at first, but when he started coloring, then like, okay, yeah, I can get into this now.
Ryutaro is like the only one of them that I really don't dig.
Yeah. So after the deposition is over, Kentaro switches in and takes a nap. That's how he helps.
Yeah. That was all part of Urataros' plan, too. He's like, okay, your turn.
Of course, the nap is a little bit short since one of the police officers mentions crying and that triggers his catchphrase.
Of course it does.
Here, wipe your tears with these. Because my strength has made you cry. Back on Denliner, Yuto and Hana are trying to put together all of what's going on. And Hana starts yelling at Sig for what he's done to Ryotaro. And how even servants deserve to be treated properly. Showing just what she thinks of Ryotaro. Sig is somehow moved by Hana's words and starts calling her princess, earning him a solid punch to the face. And the crowd goes wild.
Not the first. And I mean, not the last, I should say.
More Imogen need to be punched in the face.
Well, that's what Hana's around for.
Exactly.
Sig does something really creepy and uses his connection to his brother, Yusuke, and is able to speak through him with
Thinking
really...
Thinking of nightmares.
Yeah. Really frightening CGI overlays. And he's able to get a message to their sleeping mother that Ryotaro is actually the one who saved both of them and is not the kidnapper.
And also, I do like the other thing that Sig does here, which is that realizes that what his problem is that he doesn't say thank you.
Right.
Good job. And that's all that...
That's what he takes away from it. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one police officer that was driven crazy is also quite ecstatic when Ryotaro is released.
Yeah. Yes, apparently the mother's word is good enough for the police, and Ryotaro is released right away. Meanwhile, Yuto and Deneb are still watching the mother's house, and Deneb gets his head stuck in a fence. Which is only worth mentioning because he gets his head stuck in a fence.
Oh, Deneb.
Well, he just forgot he was big again.
Yeah. A car is waiting outside the police station for Ryotaro and takes him back to the Takayama home so the mother can thank him properly, which is not a euphemism.
I'm sure there is a nickel involved at some point.
Sig steps back in right away and is all too heavy to take up his mother's invitation to stay in the house a while so he can be with his alleged family.
I like that she doesn't notice the sudden boa.
Or the odd behavior, really.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, all of his hair and costume changes, is that supposed to be just for us, the viewers, or do people in the series actually see that too?
Yes.
So it hasn't been explained either way?
Right.
Because it actually
gets worse in the Decade episodes, where the possessions come with a complete wardrobe change. Not just, you know, hair color and glasses.
Yeah. But then again, that's Decade for you.
I'm just saying, though, it makes even less sense as it goes on.
Well, yeah. Although,
keeps going on.
The Decade episodes were written by Kobayashi, too, so I guess that...
let's see. Sig soon finds, though, that he's losing himself. Since the physical existence of an Imogen is based on the memory of the contractor, and a baby's memory is only slightly longer than a spastic goldfish's...
That's a better way of putting it than the show did, actually.
Sig is not much longer for this world. Realizing his demise is at hand, Sig wants to go and say goodbye to his brother, but ends up catching Scorpion trying to fulfill his own contract again. Yuto and Deneb are still outside and are about to intervene themselves, but before Yuto can pull a card, Sig appears on the grounds and transforms into Deneb wing form, which, amusingly, up to this point had been advertised as the movie exclusive form. For the movie that has not run yet,
even after this episode, it says the movie only form.
Right. On the other hand, Sig only manages one decent attack that only knocks the Scorpion off his feet before losing his transformation, because Sig doesn't have the strength to maintain it anymore.
And obviously Ryotaro doesn't either.
So yeah, 5-second preview of new form. Go watch the movie, kids.
Well, the only thing...
Two to get off more than one attack. Go buy them.
And, you know, the only thing Ryotaro can transform into by himself is platform anyway.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Sig can't even possess Ryotaro anymore and asks him to go save his mother. And Ryotaro tells Sig to hang on until he can come back for him. Scorpion declares his contract completed and flies to the past through the would-be kidnapper before. Right back to the day that he had been fired by the Takayama family. Ryotaro follows and fights using rod and then axe form, and destroys Scorpion with a dynamic chop.
The guy with this Scorpion Imagines plot just kind of seems arbitrary almost in these episodes.
It really does.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Well, they have to have the usual Imagine contract.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't even usual, though, because this Imagine is incredibly lazy.
Yeah, I did like that.
He's spending half the episode just laying around the back of that dirty old truck.
Sig forms a contract, like, tell me your wish, but don't make anything too hard to do.
So, Sig is on Denliner, but is still fading away. But
Imagines take a long time to die, apparently.
As long as the plot requires for. Ryotaro returns and shows Owner another ticket, this one with Sig's image on it, and Ryotaro apparently used this ticket on Sig's mother to get the date, proving that Sig actually had made a contract and fulfilled it with her to start with, but forgot. Sig just needs to travel back to the time on the ticket to complete the contract and break the connection with the Takayama family, which for some reason will save his life. Don't ask me why.
They've given up trying to hold the story together by this point.
Well, it is almost the end of the episode.
Exactly.
So, Owner agrees, and they take the Denliner back to the date on the ticket and leave Sig in 1997 to live out his time peacefully, I guess.
Okay, so, I wasn't the only one confused of what the hell happened in this episode then.
Not at all.
Totally,
no.
Well, good, that's relieving.
Yeah. Yeah, I only pick these episodes because it's ones I happen to already have on hand in HD.
Oh, nice.
Basically, I read them at random a couple of weeks ago, and they're still around.
Basically, it's, here's an advertisement for the new movie, go watch it when it comes out.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it boils down to. And then, starting with the episode after this, they start tying it into the movie's story. And then I think after episode 27 is when you go watch the movie.
Well, it's more than O's did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe they knew what Core was going to be.
No, I'm talking about Wonderful.
Oh.
Core works too, though.
Probably works a little better for this example, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I thought you were talking about in the first place.
Because we've actually seen Core.
Yeah,
well, Wonderful comes...
None of the O's movies really link in, though, it seems like.
Wonderful.
But is it better that they don't link in?
Well, it worked for forever, but then again, who wants to have Core linked to them? Yeah.
Yeah, Denno is such an oddball series to start with. I mean...
Really?
The only movie that's not really... where you can fit it into regular continuity is Climax Deca, which is the supposed Kiva crossover.
That doesn't work for Denno's continuity either?
Not really.
Wow, and that's sad considering the show is over at that point.
Yeah, I mean, you'll figure out where that kind of falls apart when you get to it, but, you know. And it's a supposed Kiva crossover because Kiva shows up for like 5 minutes altogether. And that includes the time he's not transformed.
So it's like considering Double Forever a crossover with O's?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Except it's not quite the same thing because Kiva was already running when the movie came out. So there was no reason for them to even do it at all to introduce the next writer.
Yeah. And they had another Denno movie that year too, didn't they? Just a regular...
I don't remember if it was that year or the next year.
Well, it was before the Decade Dino movie anyway.
Yeah, I guess it would have had to be that year again.
Because that would have been a tip-off to its huge popularity.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, Climax Deca was notable itself for being the first time it had more than one movie with it. You know, Kabuto, Hibiki, everything before just had one movie through the run of the series.
Or, like, Kuga and have no movie.
Well, you know, Kuga was special, though.
Yeah, Kuga was just getting everything started, so...
Kuga was made for, like, $5.
Yeah, and it shows. But it's...
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of entertaining for the level of the production values.
Oh, it definitely... It's entertaining for what they could get away with, also.
It's entertaining for what they got out of their $5.
Exactly.
I'm not really sure about the get away with part, though.
Well, it's a bit... It's a bit darker than some of the later ones, a little bit. To the point that some of the grongy scare children in Japan.
Well, yeah, but I think that was just because they had too realistic face movement or something.
Yeah, and they got complaints just for the grongy.
The grongy were actually pretty good suit designs,
even if you couldn't understand them.
Well, that's what the V2s are for. If they ever get finished.
Which they won't.
Well, it's not going.
Strikes again.
It's not going as fast as the first go around.
Well, no, but have you seen the subtitles on the first go around?
Oh yeah, I watched Kuga the whole way through on the first Midnight Crew sub set.
Yeah.
It's still better than Agito.
Oh yes.
But I watched through that too.
Of course, with Agito, those were the Cruel Angel ones that had the up aspect ratio.
Yeah.
Were those people that try to sell them?
Yes.
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 And then they f***ed up the episode that was mostly full screen even more.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, it was just kind of a big mess. But yeah, that was Deno, in case you forgot we were talking about that.
I did.
Well, the writers forgot what they were doing too, so it balances out.
Sure. But we should do more.
It's kind of like O's in that respect.
Well, same writer.
Yeah, except I like Deno more.
Yeah.
Not really sure why.
Because Deno hasn't ended to disappoint you yet.
There you go.
Also, it has a margin.
And trains. I like trains.
I'm dealing with too many ending disappointments lately.
Like what?
Something entirely unrelated to this.
Blah, blah, Digimon.
Basically, if you see my Twitter today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I take it Cross Wars just kind of stopped.
That's basically
it's having a second season.
Yeah, but the way the last episode ended, it just kind of, they beat the bad guy, and then everybody went home, and that was it. In the last minute.
Well, isn't that how most Digimon series end?
No, usually they linger for about half an episode.
Well, sometimes the lingering is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but in this case, it's like, okay, show's over. Goodbye.
Well, they do have a second season.
Yeah.
And the credits speed by about 1,000 miles an hour. Squished over to the side.
I have a lot of other problems with it, but that's not for this podcast.
But will this second season also end with an epilogue 25 years later?
God damn, I hope not. On the bright side, it is Tamer's director that's doing the second season, so there's hoping on that.
Maybe Takata will be in it.
Actually, the rumor from New Type is that it's supposed to be something like Digimon's anniversary, like one of the anniversary series, but we actually haven't seen any confirmation beyond a blurb in New Type.
If it's the person who did Tamers, maybe they will crush the spirit of one of the characters completely halfway through the series.
That would be
sure.
Awesome.
Here's hoping, because nobody bad dies in Cross Wars. I mean, I'm sorry. Nobody dies in Cross Wars except for the bad guys and stays dead.
Ah, well.
And I'm sure they'll be
Leomon.
Was that?
Not even Leomon?
Oh, no. The Leomon comes back. He dies in episode 3.
A new record.
No, actually, the record was set back in 2005 with the CGI movie. He died in the first 3 minutes.
What's the deal with Leomons? I'm serious.
He dies every series.
And without even really trying, either.
I don't think there was a Leomon in Frontier.
No, that was Koichi. He turned into Kaiser Leomon.
And he started out dead.
Yeah, exactly. And then Sabers killed two of them. Both stayed dead.
What do they have against Leomon? I don't understand this.
I think they once they kill them off again in Tamers, they were like, you know, this is a fun running gag. Let's keep doing it.
It's like what blowing up Waspinator,
basically.
I guess
only more depressing.
It's a Digimon trope,
pretty much.
Like Leomon died,
and I'm sure Rio will be in there somewhere too.
Yeah, if they're actually doing what that new type blurb indicates, although there's really no indication of that from the actual trailer, so I don't know if that, how accurate that translation
is. One episode will feature all the dead Leomons teaming up. And
only
of course
to die
dying
again.
There's just like a skeleton form Leomon where he's like a zombie.
That was actually Mad Leomon at the beginning of the
show. There was
he is zombie Leomon. He was the first villain in the show.
Fantastic.
But if they did bring all the dead Leomons back in Cross Wars, couldn't they like digicross into a super dead Leomon?
Sure.
Who could die like 7 times faster?
He'll die in the first 2 minutes this time.
He'll die 3 times as fast.
Yeah,
only if he's red.
Right.
that's red Leomon, not dead Leomon.
Okay, let's see. I don't think we have anything for next week. By which I mean nothing's actually concretely planned out.
Power playback?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
well,
the only...
There are 4 episodes subbed of Sharivan.
Okay, so that's 4 episodes I don't need to consider. That mouse just walked by on my desk again.
Oh, it's still there.
Yes.
I was kind of wondering about that, actually.
Yes, apparently it lives here now.
Do you know the best way to kill a mouse is? Get a pan, mix flour, and quick dry cement in it.
Oh my God.
That's kind of...
effective. It's super effective.
This sounds like a man who knows from experience.
The things you learn as a mortician.
Oh, I learned this from a book before the internet existed.
A book?
What? Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Those are like those blogs that are printed on paper.
Right.
Isn't it?
It may have been stone. I'm not sure.
It's those fanfics that are on like sheets of dead trees.
Yes, yes.
Hmm.
It's just something American. We haven't done that in a while.
Like what?
What series have we not covered yet?
Wild Force?
Hmm.
No, we did Forever Red.
Well, and we did Reinforcement from the Future, too.
And we already got the musical with Wild Force.
Ugh.
Damn. Dino Thunder?
Yeah, let's do Dino Thunder.
Sure.
What episode?
I don't know.
I couldn't tell you because I haven't watched it.
Fort Max, what episode? Asking for
Pick
trouble.
One where Jason David Frank is out of the country.
Well, that's like 3/4 of it.
It's like, yeah, at least, yeah.
Well, see, we could actually go at one better and use the one crossover episode from SPD where they couldn't even get him to do
Where they go back in time and Krueger just calls him Black Ranger.
Yeah, and he's voiced by Trent's actor.
And what about doing the one where they watch the episode of Abba Ranger?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that one.
That's kind of meta, isn't it? Watching an episode about them watching an episode.
Watching them.
Well, sure. What the hell?
More entertaining.
What the hell? Next week we'll
unique episode at least.
Next week we'll do Dino Thunder's Lost in Translation episode.
Just it's a shame we're not doing the where the hell it was we were doing with it, where we compare the two episodes.
Adaptation Decay.
Yes.
Well,
this episode is its own Adaptation Decay.
Something like that, but we don't have any subbed Abba Ranger episodes to go from.
Yeah, outside of Hong Kong DVDs. And that wouldn't work very well.
Oops! It's fine. I think this will be deep enough by itself that we don't need to do that.
Yeah. I think it's hell pretty deep.
We need to go deeper.
Well, that's what we do when every week, isn't it?
Obception.
Okay, so do you have anything else this week?
No, I think that's it.
I have my Shogun's Sword stickers.
Oh, and you know, I actually went and bought the non-Mega version Gold Samurai Ranger today.
Oh.
It's
a samurai toy?
Yeah.
It's not bad. I mean, for what it is.
And it's a samurai toy.
It really hurts for not having bicep swivels.
It does, yeah.
It does not samurai's, guys.
Wrong toy line.
But hey, he can hang out with other 3¾-inch figures.
Yeah, Iron Man can punch him in the face or something.
Sure.
I don't know. Why would he? I don't think he's a communist.
Well, he's Japanese, isn't he?
No, he's Antonio. So, that's enough.
Captain America would fight him.
You don't
especially if it was Ultimate Captain America.
You don't need a reason to punch Antonio in the face.
That's true.
Well, Iron Man wouldn't, because he only punches commies.
He'd punch Antonio because he took the last beer.
Hank Pym wouldn't punch him because he's not his wife.
Nice. And, you know, Hal Jordan's a pedophile.
Ha-ha!
Yeah.
All jokes.
Right. I thought that's where we were going with this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, before I hit on the Imagine thing for the introductions this week, I was thinking of trying to adapt Ken's blah blah Digimon thing that Wingus did. And, you know, for Fort Max...
That's currently defining him as a person.
Yeah. And for Fort Max, it would have been...
I have no shame in this.
For Fort Max, it would have been blah blah old joke blah blah actually. So that just kind of cycles back around to that. But I guess...
Mom's on a cycle.
Well, not anymore. She's been fixed.
For a nickel.
But no, the samurai figure is not, you know, terrible. Could be better, though.
Could be better.
Yeah, so could samurai.
It's cheap, at least.
It could be more gold.
And samurai, and then it would fall apart. And next week, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Damn.
What?
Well, actually, no, not next week. This week.
Oh, shit.
When this week?
Saturday?
Damn it.
Oh, yeah. Too bad. I'll be at work. I can't watch it, guys. Y'all have fun with that.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, we'll just have Paladin deal with it.
Yeah, f*** off.
The alternative would be having me deal with it.
I can't deal with that now.
Since I seem to be stuck on Forza now.
Yeah, and I'm
the only one who likes it.
And I'm certainly not going to do Samurai.
Okay, give me the bomb.
I thought that's only if it's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And I don't really think that applies to Samurai, does it?
No, but it does give me the worst case of indigestion I've ever had.
Yeah.
Oh, are we doing Formanisms now?
And well, it's just it hovering there like a vast predatory bird.
Like a vast predatory Jordan.
It has form, it has mass, it can be destroyed.
Your mom has mass, but she doesn't have any kind of form to her.
Well, she takes on the form of whatever container she's in.
Such as the United States.
Oh, no, that
no, she never did want to live
such
forever.
Such as the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, the United States can't contain her. She just spills out into the sea. And then this big cloud of steam forms around her. And...
Very, very unpleasant.
Remember that oil spill down in Florida a couple years ago? That was just your mother's discharge.
Ew.
Where do you think the jet stream comes from?
I don't want to.
That's your mom having gas? No? Okay.
It's been done.
Well, whatever.
So is every other joke in this show.
Yes, that is pretty much our thing.
We're clever motherfuckers.
Sure, let's go with that.
I'm going to have to disagree with that first part.
Yes, I'm afraid Fort Max may be correct. Much as it pains me to say so. It's all your fault, Fort Max. Okay, that's our show. Thanks for listening. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
I kind of am.
No, you're not.
I kind of feel bad about it this time.
Why?
The hermaphrodite jokes, for one thing, and the discharge, and...
Well, I guess I can see that one. And all your complaint letters, too.
And then Paladin gets his catchphrase in.
Tim Curry.
No, not that. The... That's your catchphrase.
Black lung.
Actually.
Paladin is a coal miner's daughter.
Saving that one, too. Just because it makes no sense. Okay, thanks for listening. Bye now.
So long.
Goodbye.
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
Yeah, Hot Wheels collectors are f***ing terrifying.
Yeah.
When I was working at Toys R Us, we had one pull a knife on one of the employees.
What?
Really?
Yeah, because he thought that he was stealing the treasure hunt car out of the case.
Wow.
And he pulled a knife.
No, he said he was going to go to his car and get a knife.
Oh.
He threatened to pull a knife. Well, that's
wow.
Good.
And what Toys R Us was this?
That's still enough to call the cops.
The one down here next to the mall.
Wow.
Tell me which one that is so I know what not to go to it.
The Toys R Us by the mall. They're all the Toys R Us by the mall.
Well, except in Bellevue.
Even when there isn't a mall anymore.
Yeah, I was just going to say, in Bellevue, there's the Toys R Us, but the mall's basically not there anymore.
Is that the depressing Toys R Us you took us to that one time?
Yes. Yes, it is.
What?
Depressing Toys R Us? You'll have to be more specific.
It was a Toys R Us in the middle of okay, if you exit Toys R Us and you look up, you see Sauron's tower.
Wow.
Yeah, what'd you call it? The Eastern Block Toys R Us?
Yeah. The kids all look sad and they're all dressed in gray.
See, I thought you said prison Toys R Us at first. I was like, what?
Oh, the prison Toys R Us?
That's what it is for the employees.
That's the description.
Well, that's true regardless.
That's all retail stores ever in the history of mankind.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.